Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back. I'm so glad you're with us because I've got an interesting topic for you today. Have you ever thought about being an entrepreneur? Maybe changing jobs, maybe striking out on your own, or maybe going into partnership with somebody, whether you're on the front end, maybe you're in your early 20s, maybe you're, you know, middle-aged, and of course, middle-aged now is a lot older than it used to be. Now that I'm middle-aged, I feel that way. So wherever you are, have you ever thought about being an entrepreneur? Well, we've got a great guest lined up that our radio producer here, Beth Moodhart, found for us. Brian Lofermento is an entrepreneur, speaker, author. He's written the book, Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur, What You Really Need to Know to Start Your First Business. Clever. And his website for our program today is imetbrian.com, just like it sounds, imetbrian.com. And you've met him right here on our program. So quick introduction of Brian. He's been a, well, I guess we'll call him a serial entrepreneur, starting at a young age. Actually, when he was 19, started his first business opportunity. And then in 2012, he launched a search engine optimization agency outside of Boston, Massachusetts, and he grew it to over six figures in revenue within 13 months. He now creates and launches online programs teaching entrepreneurs how to grow, scale, and automate their business. And he speaks at universities, schools, corporation conferences, events hosted by the likes of Ernst & Young, University of Massachusetts, and Women's Innovation Network. So real glad to bring Brian to the program. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks, David. I'm glad to be here and share some value with your audience. I know so many people like to talk about becoming an entrepreneur, so I'm happy to share some insights.
Excellent. Well, we're glad you're here, and I think it's a nice subject because a lot of people have that little itch in the back of their mind they want to scratch, and they have a lot of, you know, it's very easy for them to stack up a lot of reasons why not to do it, why not to pursue that entrepreneurial opportunity or their dream. And we've had guests on the program that talk about, you know, their inventions or things that they've done. And it's really exciting. And it's all, of course, you know, very much part of the American dream and what people want to be able to do in a free society. And so I've got some basic questions that I know the listeners are going to want me to ask you. And I know there's a lot more information over your website, imetbrian.com. But I'll start with some of the ones that are kind of obvious. And I share with Brian, you know, I started my own company 18 years ago. I walked away from a position with a very reputable insurance agency to strike out on my own because I just knew it was something I needed to do. And so I walked away from that salary, Brian, to start my own company and basically, you know, started from scratch. So the first question that a lot of people are going to ask is, well, how much money do I need to have? You know, do I need to store up, you know, a lot of income kind of as a reserve? Do I need to have cash to invest in the business? What are some of the basics with how much money you need to start a business?
Yeah, great question, David. And there's two different ways that I would answer that. I mean, it's never been this easy and inexpensive to start a business. The internet has served as a great equalizer. I mean, anyone can start a business today. And you can start a business on $100. And that sounds like an exaggeration, but when I was 19, I started a soccer blog. I think it cost me like $98 total to start this blog. Fast forward a couple years later, and we had our first $1,000 day just through advertising revenue. So it's really inexpensive to do that. But you also kind of alluded at the other side of the coin, which is for someone who's already in a job, making a salary, they always feel like they need a runway to start their business.
Yeah.
People say, oh, I need to save up for 6 months of a runway in case things don't work out or to get on my feet. And my answer to that is instead of focusing on saving your runway, I mean, your runway is never going to come. Every time you get closer, it's always going to go further out. But my advice is always build some revenue first. I mean, I was fortunate. I was in college when I started my first business, so I didn't necessarily need a runway. So I could just focus right away on monetizing and building a revenue stream. But for people in a job, they can always start today on building that revenue stream.
That's well put, Brian. Well, for me, and this may be the case for a lot of people after thinking about an entrepreneurial opportunity, is I was consumed by the passion. I didn't have a choice. I was consumed by the passion of wanting to do what I do right now and being able to work for, help people with their money. And I knew it was what I wanted to do. I knew it was what I needed to do. And it wasn't, there was nothing wrong with what I was doing before. And it was a great company. It's just I had this strong, you know, almost unstoppable, really, it was unstoppable desire to make the switch. So runway or not, there was no runway. I just took off from a standing position like these airplanes that have the vertical props and just went straight vertical, straight up, because that's just what had to be done.
Yeah, no, I love that, David. And that's the story of so many entrepreneurs. I mean, when I started my soccer website, which turned into a really successful company, it was, like you said, solely out of passion. I mean, it was 2 a.m. I was in my dorm room, and I really wanted to write about soccer on the internet, and it just took off from there.
All right, well, that's what it takes sometimes, is that dream to make it a reality. And, I just hate to hear people giving up on their dreams, because, you know, you get one shot at this and make the most of it. But we got to be realistic. I realize that. What is in your mind, when we think about, you know, that revenue stream and or how people are going to approach their business, you know, it has to be something that's going to create and have value. And so from your perspective and what you've seen and what you've seen people do, what's one of the most important metrics for business? What really should be at the heart or drive all financial decisions that a business owner or entrepreneur is going to make?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite topics to talk about with entrepreneurs, because all too often entrepreneurs overlook this one number that should determine everything you do in your business, and that's customer lifetime value. So basically the question I ask entrepreneurs, and David, I mean, I could pose the same question to you, is for your financial practice, like when you get a new customer, how much is that customer worth to you? Let's just say, and I won't put you on the spot to say numbers or anything, but let's just say it's, I don't know, $2,000. You know that if you get a customer on today, you know that within the next 2 years, for example, you're going to make $2,000 from that customer. Well, that's great, because now you know your customer lifetime value. And you can apply this to hospitals, to lawyer offices, to dentists. You can apply it to any business. So if you know that each customer is worth $2,000 to you, you now know that you can spend up to, let's say, $1,500 to acquire that customer. It's a really important metric to know. Otherwise, you'll find yourself, when confronted with investment opportunities, with marketing opportunities, you won't know if it's a positive ROI activity or not if you don't know how much a customer is worth to you.
Well put, Brian. Yes, well, and you answered your question. I know it was a bit rhetorical. Yes, I know exactly what they're all worth. And because we part of what we do here is we're a fee-based investment advisor, so we charge a fee for managing client money as opposed to, you know, working as a broker or getting a commission. And so I know exactly what every client pays us, and we know what that is worth to us every quarter, and we know that we have to earn our keep. So very much on the top of our minds and important, because if our clients make more money, we make more money. If their account falls in value, then, well, we get a pay cut.
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds, I mean, if people are listening to this right now and it sounds so simplistic to them, it is simplistic, absolutely. I mean, I always say a lot of things in business are simple. They're not easy, but they're definitely simple. But so many businesses don't even know that one number. I mean, I used to work at a healthcare organization when I graduated college. I lasted all of 14 months in corporate before I said, no, the entrepreneurship stuff is way more fun and profitable for me. In that healthcare organization, every time they paid $10,000 for a new billboard, I always ask the question of, if we get 5 new patients as a result of that billboard, is that positive ROI or not?
Right.
And it was crazy. I mean, no one could answer that question because they didn't know the lifetime value of a patient. So in that case, they couldn't make smart financial decisions.
Well, if you don't have good data, then you cannot make good financial decisions, because now you're making more of the seat of the pants. And, you know, the analogy that popped into my mind, and we'll grab a quick break, Brian, is, you know, if you had the best car on the planet and, you know, it cost out the door, no pun intended, out the door cost was, say, $50,000. And even though your product is vastly superior, you only could sell it for $40,000. Well, if you're losing 10 grand on every sale, you're not going to be in business very long, even though the product is phenomenal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's a reality check that all businesses need to understand. Brian Lofermento is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, entrepreneur, speaker, author. imetbrian.com is a website. Very clever. Entrepreneur to Entrepreneur is the book, What You Really Need to Know to Start Your First Business, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the like. We'll grab that break, and we'll be right back with Brian. Stay right there.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Digny Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation, before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
All right, we're back with Brian Lofermento, and excited to continue the conversation with Brian because he's got some great insights. And this idea of entrepreneur to entrepreneur is all about going from wanting to actually doing it, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so many people want to start a business, and in today's world, it's so easy to do it.
Well, I love the play on words with entrepreneur to entrepreneur for the title of your book. Have you had much demand from people that want to be a gondrepreneur?
Not so much demand for this book, but now that you mentioned the preneur, I mean, it's kind of becoming an in thing to say sidepreneur or someone starting their business on the side. There's so many ways to play on that word.
Yeah, we had a guest on the program that was a gondrepreneur not long ago, and it was made for an interesting program talking about, you know, of course, the sale of marijuana in different states. All right, so let's go, speaking of risky business, let's go to the thing that is one of the biggest obstacles to a lot of people who think about getting into a business and not just starting from scratch too. I want to address that. You know, it might be that they're buying into a business. It might be that they're buying a franchise, or they're doing something where they do have some, you know, to use your analogy of the runway, maybe they don't have a long runway, but they've got at least some guardrails. Maybe they're entering into something that's already in place. But the big word that gets into people's way sometimes, and it's usually from friends and family or other people that, you know, mean well, but they use the big word, risky. And so help people understand why maybe that's not the right way to look at it.
Yeah, and that's one of the words that I've always struggled with when I talk to entrepreneurs, is they let that word creep into their mind. And it feels risky when you do it, or it feels risky, so that prevents you from ever doing it. And I always tell people, you know, how risky is it that if you're working in a job, one person, literally one person, can control your financial future? They could walk into your office tomorrow and say, David, you're fired. I mean, one person has the power to do that if you're working in a corporate job. How risky is that? That one person who may or may not like you is in control of your financial destiny. So I think that's risky. Whereas entrepreneurship, people like to, when they say the word risky, they always point to that stat, and I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but something along the lines of 98% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. Well, I always tell people, businesses don't fail. People quit.
Yeah.
It's impossible for a business to fail. The only point of failure is when someone decides to quit. So if you're an entrepreneur, it's not risky because you control your destiny. If you want to make $10,000 next month, you have the ability to do that if you have the right systems and services and products in place. So in my opinion, if you have complete control of your financial future, then that's not risky. It's risky when you give that control to someone else.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Brian. When I was planning to do what I did when I left the insurance agency, and again, a very respected, well-regarded organization, I talked to a family friend, and I said, here's what I'm thinking of doing, and I'm going to go out on my own, I'm going to do this. And it was interesting, because the well-intended advice was, well, you know, that's risky, you know, what do you say if you say you're going and they start saying, no, you know, don't leave and we want you, and they you know, start stacking money in front of you to stay? And I said, I got two words for you. You ready? Self-determination. Because that's what I think that is really one of, it's of course a double-edged sword. I realize that of being, you know, responsible for, you know, your own success, but aren't we all anyway within organizations?
Exactly. Spot on.
Well, hey, listen, that's why I bring guests on to talk to me, Brian. I want them to agree with me, and you're doing a great job. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, at the end of the day, the question really is, are you confident in your own abilities to create the
right
future that you want? I mean, that's what I think it comes down to.
No, your thoughts are well put, and I'm being a little funny, but I think that this is where people need to get their minds wrapped around this if they're going to be in this area. So I'm getting the signal from Beth that we need another break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the things that are important for entrepreneurs to focus on, and things about the scalability, which is really important. Brian Lowe from Mentor is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Entrepreneur, speaker, author, imetbrian.com is the website. Entrepreneur to Entrepreneur, What You Really Need to Know to Start Your First Business is the book. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our YMCA has 6 locations to help your family reach their health and fitness goals. Kids who play sports at the Y learn more than just the game. The programs provide positive, fun activities that build athletic, social, and interpersonal skills, which lead to better behavior, healthier lifestyles, and even improved academic achievement. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and wellness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Holland Tax and Accounting Services, a division of Holland Financial, holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years. We have the financial expertise that will help you manage your business and personal financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you are an individual or a business, Holland Tax can accommodate your needs for tax planning and preparation. For your business or personal finances, rely on Holland Tax and Accounting Services to deliver personal and detailed attention. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free.
All right, welcome back. Brian Lofermento, our guest, Entrepreneur to Entrepreneur, What You Really Need to Know to Start Your First Business is the book. imetbrian.com is the website. And scalability, that's a big one. That's an integral part of a business being able to grow. And give people, if you would, Brian, some of your insight about why that's important and how they can do it.
All right, great question. Loaded question too, David.
You're welcome. So, no charge.
Yeah. So scalability is really a hot topic amongst entrepreneurs, because scalability is the question of how much more do you have to work in order to make more money. So if in order to make more money, you have to, let's say in order to make twice as much money as you're making today, do you have to work twice as many hours? If so, then your business is not scalable. So in a scalable business, you can make 10 times more money by working 2 times more than you're working today. That's scalable. Now, the number one way, I love talking about this topic, because when people start their business, the very first piece of advice that everyone gives them is to network, network, network. And really, networking means going out, meeting people, handing out 1 million business cards.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very scalable.
No.
Because unless you're physically out at conferences, at Chamber of Commerce events, at other events, and meeting people, then you're not getting new leads and you're not sharing your message. So I always tell people the number one way to make your business more scalable is to automate and streamline your lead generation efforts. So David, how many times on the internet have you seen, you know, free ebook, enter your email address?
Right, right. Plenty of times,
sure. So
that's
an awesome approach. Yeah, and the reason that businesses do that is because they use what I call the golden question. So let's say you're a real estate agent and you've got a free ebook about the 5 things that new first-time home buyers need to know. Well, the golden question is, what's true of every single person that gives you their email address in order to receive that ebook? Well, quite simply, they're interested in knowing what first-time home buyers need to know. The chances are they're a first-time home buyer. So that is a perfect lead. So the number one way to be scalable, and you don't have to do an ebook, but the number one way is to provide value. So you can offer a free course, and everyone that signs up for it, you know that they're a great lead for your business. You can offer a free ebook, a free video. There's a lot of free things you can offer that not only provide value for your audience so that you build that know, like, and trust factor, but it identifies and generates leads for you.
Can't I can't disagree at all, Brian. You're right on the money. We've tried to apply exactly what you're thinking about to let people know we're here to help them with their money and their finances and their retirement planning. And we've got an app for the Android and for the iPhone, Real Money with David Holland. We've got, of course, the radio program that we do the show, and then it goes to a market with 600,000 people and a column in the paper every week. Actually, in two papers every week. So, and it's written one time. So, yeah, the power of scale and leverage, because if you have to work double the amount of time to get double the money, it's not going to work. You have to have it scalable. And the other part that I've found is really, really important is being able to also leverage your time. And, you know, for example, getting you as a guest. I didn't find you. Beth found you. Lucky me. So it's about being smart with your time, because we only have 24 hours. I don't care who you are. You only got 24 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. And David, I just want to say, and I'll toot your horn a little bit, everything that you just mentioned is outstanding, because you talked about you attract new customers and clients. And every single way that you mentioned is all about providing value. Your newspaper columns aren't saying, hey, call us, work with us,
right,
buy
right.
our stuff.
Right.
They're value giving. So you're just constantly giving value. And I always tell people, when you give value, money is inevitable. Money's a natural byproduct of giving value in the marketplace.
Well, thank you. And I was not fishing for the compliment, but I will take it, because it's a lot of work, and you have hit the nail on the head. Is I think that people should be respected, and I think that they like to get good information, they like to get quality advice, and then they can decide what they want to do. In other words, I respect people's intelligence, that they know that, you know, we're here to help them, and that if they like the things that they hear or read or watch, or, you know, the things that they see, that they can say, hey, look, this is something, there's a resource here to help me. And, you know, I've actually kind of pushed back in my own industry for a long time, that it seems like every other day I get some email or somebody sending me something that says, hey, we can make you a better salesperson. And my response is, hey, I don't want to be a better salesperson. I want to be a better advisor, and I want to be a better marketer. I think people can appreciate somebody marketing their services. And I know that we do that. I know you're recommending that. But I don't think people need to be better salespeople. I think they need to be better at advising their clients or guiding their clients. And I don't care what it is that they're actually doing. It could be anything from, you know, refrigerators to mattresses to cars to cruises to whatever it is. People don't want salespeople. They want advisors, and they don't mind that you market your services so they know you're there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, selling isn't fun for anyone. So instead of selling, I educate, and that's a way more fun process for me, and it feels way better on the other side of the table.
Yeah, and I don't mean to make it sound like a commercial, because it's really not. It's really about anybody out there who's thinking of being an entrepreneur. I think that the convenient message here, Brian, is that they don't have to be a salesperson. You don't have to be a salesperson. You do not have to be a salesperson, and I'm proof, okay, because I'm not. And I never fit that mold when I was in my previous companies I worked for. I just never fit that. I'm not that guy. But I'm a good advisor, and I can market with the best of them, but it's about giving advice. So to the entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs out there that we're talking to, Brian, you know, they don't have to be a great salesperson. They don't have to be slick. And they also, you mentioned this before about the networking. I really avoid at all costs. I don't like networking. I do not like going to a chamber meeting and slapping everybody on the back. And, you know, I'm a bit introverted. So I don't like any of that. I'll write a column and put it in the paper, but I don't like doing the networking thing. And so an entrepreneur does not have to be some amazing networker that gets business on the golf course.
Yeah, totally agreed. And that's why it kills me when I hear people give advice, you know, ABC. Everyone loves saying ABC. It stands for always be closing. And they say that if you start your own business, you need to always be closing sales. Well, I disagree. I mean, I think if you're always providing value, it's inevitable that you're going to succeed. If your free stuff, if the value that you give away for free is better than other people's paid stuff, then you're going to succeed. It's that simple.
Well, I'm going to agree with you and say I've always had that in my mind too, Brian, about that ABC, and I've always found it a bit, just to be blunt, obnoxious. And I have twisted it and said, always be consulting. Always be, use another C word, you know? Always always be whatever. But again, you don't have to be pushing people, and nobody likes that. It makes people uncomfortable. We've got time for a couple other things here I want to make sure we get to. And the scalability, of course, is critical. And I also like the idea, and this is also something that we have had our own personal, my company, our own experience with, and that is revenue streams and choices you make about how to grow your business. A while back, we tried to grow geographically, and we found that it did not work as well as just simply offering additional services that our clients needed. And because they trusted us, they like getting it from one stop. So talk a little bit about your thoughts on that, about multiple revenue streams.
Yeah, for sure. So I've got five main revenue streams. And you'll notice as I'll touch on them really quickly. As I talk about them, you'll see that each revenue stream is very scalable. So for example, let's take my book. I wrote the book once, and now it's going to sell for all of eternity, I hope. So the book is totally scalable revenue for me, because I wrote it once and people just buy it. So every day as book sales come in, I make money off that. Similarly, my biggest revenue stream is online courses that I create. So I've created courses that really teach entrepreneurs how they can market and grow and automate and scale their businesses using online marketing strategies and techniques and tactics. So those courses, I put the work in, I build them once, and then again, they sell over time. And my third revenue stream, which is increasingly growing because there's so many entrepreneurs out there, is my inner circle. So my inner circle is a monthly membership where people pay $97 a month to learn directly from me. It's one live call every single week, and I bring in guest experts every single week to talk about different marketing topics. So the inner circle is great because it's no one-on-one time for me. I mean, if 1,000 new members join tomorrow, it's no additional work on my end. So the inner circle is really great. The other two, similar to you, I do consulting as well. So if businesses want my help one-on-one, I do consulting. It's not a main revenue stream for me because it's not as scalable. Mm-hmm. And the fifth one is affiliate products, which anyone can get started with on the internet. So if I promote someone else's product, I get 50% of that. So if I recommend a new tool or new software to someone who I know it would benefit them, using affiliate marketing and affiliate links, I can get 50% of that income. Again, it's totally scalable.
Excellent stuff, Brian. We'll have to wrap it there. Brian Lofermento has been our guest today, and you can see he's full of ideas and wonderful information. I'm at Brian.com to learn all about all that stuff. Entrepreneur to Entrepreneur is the book, what you really need to know to start your first business. Brian, thank you very, very much for being here, and we'll have to do it again.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. It was fun.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.